A beginning is a very delicate time. Know then that it is the year 10,191. In this time, the most precious substance in the universe is the spice melange. The spice extends life. The spice exists on only one planet in the entire universe. The planet is Arrakis, also known as Dune.
This week in Your Apparent Spaceman, we're harvesting spice and hanging out with Sting as we play Dune 2, widely recognized as the very first real-time strategy game by Westwood Studios for the PC and Sega Genesis. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the Emperor God, who's half man and half worm. It's Todd Brisket.
Cumin is my spice.
It's your melange. And our other regular co-host, he has the deep blue eyes of a spice user. It's Huell Hauser.
Frederick's political gamble has proved dangerous. Desperate for spice, he has challenged the three great houses to compete for mining rights.
Yes, this is a game all about mining rights and its their political implications. So nobody better than to have on the show than my buddy with a poli-sci degree. He's the one who nominated Dune 2 for coverage, and the Hansen House will rule Arrakis one day. So says Bob Hansen.
I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear.
Oh, that.
Which you have to have read the book, guys. To have read the book.
Well, with incredible writing like that, that's only one of 800 pages in that book, I bet. You can reach us by email at parentspacemanpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.ypbpodcast.com. This week's game is Dune 2, released in 1992 for the PC and 1993 for the Sega Genesis. Dune 2 is generally regarded as the first popular real-time strategy game. It was influenced by a 1990 Sega Genesis game released by Technosoft called Herzog's Way. I attempted to play that game as well this week, but it's a weird mech game, and I couldn't find anything to actually do in it. So, Dune 2 is a bit more guided, holds your hand a tiny bit more, and it's a bit more fun to play. It is based on the series of these somewhat insane books and movies. Bob, you nominated this game for coverage this week, so why don't you start the discussion off for us?
Sure. So, Dune 2, which is, I mean, it's very much like the first real-time strategy game.
Yes.
I played it to try to, you know, refresh myself coming into this. I mean, read a bunch of the books, movies, whatever, you know, and I clearly played the game a lot as a kid. I did not remember how carefully you have to follow the instructions. Because the second level, they're like, oh, you guys need to go harvest a bunch of spice. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go totally obliterate the next base. Which I only had guys with, like, guns. And so it took me an hour. And I was like, this is really taking a long time. I don't understand. Then I realized I didn't have enough stuff to hold all my spice. So I was never going to actually hit my objectives. So I was just sitting there alone on the map. But, you know, it took me an hour to actually win the level, even though I was all alone because I had not made enough room for the spice. So old games, you have to follow instructions. It sucks.
Yeah, the first rule of economy on Arrakis, build those silos.
Oh yeah. This is Red Alert all over again.
It's weird. I know I shouldn't like this game more than Red Alert and Command and Conquer, but I actually did quite a bit. I don't know why.
Because you really like building foundations.
Ooh, yes.
The
foundations in this one are the roads of Warcraft 1.
This is the Sims level of building.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of did like building the foundation. I don't know.
Oh, my.
I don't know what it was about it, but I did like putting down that concrete, put a building on top of it.
That nice, clean slab.
Yeah. Yep. I like that there were no basements in this game, even though we're on your parents' basement. But no, I think it kind of helped that this game is quite a bit simpler than the old Red Alert. There's like, I don't know how many unit types there is per faction, but it didn't seem like that many. So it's like it was actually doable to play this game with just the Sega Genesis controller.
Oh, is that what you played on?
Yes, I did not play the PC version.
I hear it's a fairly faithful port. I only played the PC version.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same here. I found an in-browser version that I tried out.
Oh.
Yeah, if you'd gotten the DOSBox version, it would have given you the option of whether to have a mouse or not.
What?
Which, yeah, I just can't imagine.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't be memorizing keyboard shortcuts at this point.
No. This being one of the earlier real-time strategy games, they're lacking of keyboard shortcuts. You have to click on every single unit and click move or click attack and then go all the way over to wherever you want to click for them to go to instead of, more modern, which is, a couple of years later, they had Command & Conquerors come out. You just drag a box around them, right click and make them walk somewhere. But in this one, it's very tedious making all your little Dune guys walk around.
Well, you can, if you want to move, you can just hit M and then click where you want. So you don't have to go all the way over and click M to click move. Like, you can type A for attack and M for move.
I did not
know that. That's an early RTS thing.
So yeah, I know they have it in later ones. I watched a playthrough of somebody's before I tried it myself, and they were not doing that. They were manually clicking. So I did not even attempt to try shortcuts.
I didn't even try it.
Well, here's the thing, guys. Normally, there's so few units on the screen anyway that it's not really a huge issue. Like...
Yeah, and I know this is a later thing, but I think I would like this a lot better if I could drag a box around and select units.
No,
like that was the one thing that was killing me in this game.
Like select four units at one time.
Yeah, instead of like click one, make it do something, click another. Because like one enemy walks onto my base and I'm like freaking out because I can't get anyone over to attack them because you have to click everyone individually. It's like one dude in a red jumpsuit just like... It sent me into a panic.
Yeah, and this game does have quite a few there are no modern features in this one, so it's sometimes hard to even tell if your base is being attacked. Like, I just had like a single soldier chipping away at my base for like a minute before I noticed it, and then I wiped it out.
Did you have sound on?
Yeah, but I didn't know what the sounds were yet for anything.
Well, they tell you. There's like a... Oh, maybe Genesis didn't have voice.
Yeah, Genesis does not do what PC does. PC, it's there's a lady saying, Hey, Jared Leto Atreides, your base is under attack.
No, so I don't know. There's that, and at least I just liked it because, it was simple. It was a simpler time, and... This is a game I did have this as a Ute. I had Dune 2 for the Sega Genesis.
Ooh.
And I liked it. It was a good game back then.
Now, this is a game I'm sorely sad that I did not have as a kid, because I would be all over this. I read the Dune books as a kid, and I loved it. And I would have played the hell out of it, but I did not have it growing up. We covered this in the Command & Conquer episode and the Warcraft episode. I was a Warcraft kid. We grew up with those orcs and those humans.
Don't need no sandworms.
Warcraft, which was, basically, it was Blizzard ripping off Warhammer, right? Huel, was that what was going on?
That is absolutely correct.
Okay. So, also Warcraft, 2 years after this one. So,
yeah.
Even the first Warcraft.
Yeah, strangely enough, this seems a little cleaner and more robust than the first Warcraft, even if it was earlier.
Mm-hmm.
This Dune 2, as they say.
You guys, I have a question for you. Did have they figured out right clicking by Warcraft?
I think by Warcraft 2, not Warcraft 1.
Yeah, right.
Okay, because I spent a solid third of the game either trying to drag boxes over my units or right-clicking, and absolutely, to no avail.
Yeah, I think Warcraft 1 had the keyboard shortcuts where you could press like A or M for attack and move, but no right-clicking. Although you could select multiple units, but I think you could only have 4 or 6 at the most. Like, it was a very small number.
Yeah, and of course the biggest problem with all these early games was the AI is horrible. Both your own AI. Like, if like you'd send them on exploratory missions and then they wouldn't counter when other enemies started attacking them. They would just keep marching to wherever they're going.
Yeah, if you click to move somewhere, they're going there.
Yeah,
until they get there or die.
Mm-hmm. So what you end up having to do is, I think my main tactic in this game was you would just slowly, like expand a little bit of your territory time after time so that you can see a little bit more of the map, and you just keep doing that until you finally found the enemy's base.
Yeah, and then you set a perimeter up with your trikes.
Yep.
Set up a line of moto trikes and army dudes behind them.
Yep. And the enemy has... I will say the enemy AI has some of the same limitations. So you can set up a line and they'll just walk to their death as they they'll just walk single file into your troops. Like, three of your troops will attack them at the same time. That kind of stuff. And this one other thing about this game being so early, the first RTS game, no fog of war really in this one. Like, once you uncover a portion of the map, you can see it for the rest of the time.
It's no like recurring fog of war.
Nope.
It's just open.
Yep. So it's a big boost to if you do manage to find the enemy's base, you basically know whenever they're gonna launch an attack on you because you can watch as their troops walk towards you from one side of the map to the other side. So
yeah, not a lot of suspense there.
No, not quite so much.
The suspense is waiting for the mining truck to get back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they are very, very slow.
What was that,
Pop? What was that? Sorry, Pop.
I was going to say, you also have to build some foundations. You have other things to be paying attention to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that is a constant task.
Build foundation button.
Give me them slabs.
God, I forgot what I was going to say. Huel, did you read the manual for this one? Did you take a gander at it?
Yeah. So unfortunately, Dune is a very big blind spot in my nerd knowledge sphere, and I really had no idea what any of it was about. I knew it was a desert. I knew there was worms,
check.
And I knew there check. And I knew there was spice.
Check.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought the spice was just like for cooking. I didn't know why everyone wanted it so bad.
Well, some people might put it in their brownies.
Yeah. But I'm like, why is it... It must be really delicious if everyone's freaking out about this stuff.
Yeah.
But the manual gives a pretty decent, as far as I can tell, like, background coverage of, like, what's... Like, the world of Dune and all that stuff. So that was pretty good.
Like, and the so dude, what did you learn the spice was for?
It can be used to, like, heal people.
Mm-hmm.
And it can extend life.
Hmm.
You can you use it for traveling for some reason.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It makes interstellar travel possible.
Yeah, correct.
Yep.
And that's all about all I know.
Okay. Yeah, that's the main thing about the spice, the melange, as they say. The melange. Is that it gives you the user a little bit of prescience so they can see what's coming. The consumer. And that's the Spacing Guild. They use it so they can predict whenever they're flying in hyperspace, predict if there's going to be an asteroid in the way or not.
Oh, that's what that means. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's basically the Force.
So I'm going to blow your mind here, Yul. It is an extremely sophisticated metaphor for oil.
Yeah, it seemed a little bit like that.
nobody ever figured that out. It's not completely blatantly transparent.
It's just fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. It comes from the desert.
Comes from the desert, and all the entities have Arabian-like names.
What, you mean like Reverend Mother Marius Althea Blasco?
No, the
Emperor
Emperor Shaddam and the Al Tabiq and all that stuff.
Mm.
The El Shaddam, well,
don't forget
the Shai Hulud.
The Fremen just running around. Oops, sorry, guys.
Go ahead.
Don't forget the Fremen running around the desert, like just these tribes of nomads. Like, no analog there at all.
No.
Don't forget Frederick.
In my notes, I had speculation was that this series, all of these revivals in 1992, whether it's the video games and more novels and all that kind of stuff, happened because we were in the Gulf War. So that's part of the reason why Hollywood and video game companies got interested again.
That's why sci-fi created that miniseries remake of it just before 9/11. Think about that.
Oh, jeez.
Wait, was there? Like a sci-fi channel?
Yeah. Is a faithful adaptation of the book.
Huh.
Far more faithful than the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to watch the movie before this, but then...
Well, you should, regardless...
It just didn't happen.
Regardless of watching it for this episode or not, you should watch it just because it is a nutty sci-fi David Lynch movie.
Yeah, I'm a big Lynch fan, so it's always been on my radar. But isn't it, like, super long?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is 137 minutes of your life you will never get back.
I mean, it's not too crazy, but it's an investment.
It makes zero sense unless you've read the books, but it's got Patrick Stewart and Sting. So
yeah, that's
there's,
right.
like, an offset there.
And Kyle MacLachlan. Virginia Madsen.
Of Showgirls fame.
Yes.
Kyle MacLachlan of Showgirls fame?
Him too. Here's a ringing endorsement from Ian Nathan of Empire Magazine. It's not for everyone, but if you don't mind the brain-bending confusion of the plot and occasional feeling of 80s high camp, this isn't as bad as its detractors would have it. So I'm not sure if that's a compliment or not.
Oh, Dean Stockwell. character actor.
The thing is, I vaguely remember the movie Dune, and I remember thinking, "Oh, this is kind of like bad Star Wars or something."
I think that was the tagline.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's kind of like if someone decided, "Hey, Star Wars is a good movie for kids. Let's make something for like late teens and adults. Like get them
edgy." Edgy.
Yeah, a little edgy. We got people doing spice and I think there might even be some hoots in in Dune. There might be some lady stuff.
Everyone knows that the best parts of Star Wars were all the Tatooine parts. So let's just make that the whole movie.
let's make a movie about Jawas.
Jawas were on that spice. It was glowing eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they were up to.
And I do vaguely recall the TV series reboot, which according to the internet came out in 2000. And I remember that being boring as well. So.
It is, yeah. I would say Dune there, it's coming up on a movie reboot by one of those hot new directors on the scene. The guy that's doing the sequel to Blade Runner is doing it, I think. Thing is, I've read the books and everything. It's much better as a book. It would not make a good movie.
So what is it about?
Or TV series or anything or audio play. It's a book.
So both you and Bob, what is it about it that doesn't translate to a visual medium? Is it just like too
boring visually?
Intricate, like political stuff? Like
it's a bunch of introspective people that have stupid actions and they and a lot of descriptions of stuff.
I mean that's dead on. I mean I was gonna say it's literally a third of that book is people talking to themselves.
Yeah. Fuel,
let me that just does not translate.
Huel, as someone who's read two of the books, let me tell you something here. The books, they're just as boring too.
Oh, shots fired.
You know what? I will agree. I enjoyed reading them, and you know, I'm on number five right now. I've paused it to read other books, but it is boring compared to other books.
Boy, that is not a good endorsement.
No, I mean, Dune's one of those books that I have to be like, okay, so you have to get through like the first 200 pages, and then it's good. And then, Steve, Dune Messiah, crap. Terrible book. The third book is better. But
is Messiah, you know, number two?
You have to get
two?
Through the second book to get there. So, yeah.
I just finished the fourth, which is the one Steve talked about in the intro, God Emperor of Dune, which is where there's a worm human god of Dune. And that one's more interesting just because of how nutty it is.
Yes. Oh, my God.
When were these books? Like the 60s, the 70s?
Mid-60s to 80s. And then the dude died.
Yeah.
So and then
his son took over.
This is like a Lord of the Rings situation where people were so bored back then that any book just seemed interesting.
Ooh. Putting J. Ronald Reagan Tolkien on blast.
Yeah, here. Jerry Ronald Reagan needs to be taken down a few notches.
Yeah. No, I would agree with your assessment there. Like, yeah. I find Lord of the Rings is a bit better written to me. It's a bit more of a page turner than Dune.
Both, I would say Dune and Lord of the Rings are just required reading as a standard, hey, I did it, and I know it, and I know the story. Get all the references now. And then you move on to actually entertaining page-turners.
but to defend them a little bit, like back when I was a teenager and just had tons of disposable time, like, you know, it was kind of cool. Like, video games weren't that advanced back in the day. I don't know if you guys know this, but you couldn't just go play Skyrim for 100 hours.
Look, that... When I was a teenager is when I tried reading Lord of the Rings, and I was furious.
Oh.
I finished The Hobbit, because it was the shortest one.
Oh,
and then I tried number one, the fellows carrying the ring, and got maybe a third of the way through.
Oh.
Said, this sucks. I'm going to play
So wait, hold on. Do you not like singing, like, throughout the book constantly? Without anything else happening.
Reading songs is one of my favorite
things.
Hey,
you can make up your own melody in your mind. Yep. Read a book. Yeah, take a trip.
Reading songs in a language that doesn't exist.
What do you think about treaties about language, like made up languages, like the origins of Elfish?
What about Dothraki?
Now we're talking.
I don't know. There are elements in all of the Dune books that would make, this could be a good TV series or a good movie, similar to I'm sure, like Game of Thrones. But it's also, it just feels like it's past that time. Like, there's already been so many adaptions and movies, and that's not even getting to the really weird novels where, a guy becomes half man, half sandworm. Oh, and he also lives for 3,500 years. That too.
It sounds more interesting than houses trying to mine more spice than the other.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you think this is kind of an originator of Game of Thrones, right? Because those are different houses competing for power on the on the Westeros, but this is houses competing for power on a sandy beach.
Yeah.
It's not a beach. It's just sand.
On a sandy sand.
There ain't no water.
Well, and one of the other issues with why this is tough to do a movie or TV series on is Frank Herbert, apparently, part of his reasoning for writing Dune was to kind of destroy the hero mythos. So there's not really a true hero in the Dune book series.
I mentioned it earlier. They're all dumb. They have every single character does stupid stuff.
Yeah,
but that's a big theme these days, these modern times. Who's really good? Who's really bad? The anti-hero.
The anti-hero, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to cook meth out of spice and use my teaching degree.
I'm noble bad. Not like that bad, bad guy.
Chaotic good.
And that's not even accounting for some of the other weird stuff that goes on in the series, which is the fact that everyone is addicted to spice. And there's also a big part about how you can be possessed by your past lives. Like your family genetics, your great-grandfather can possess you and live out your life. So that's good times too.
Makes a lot of sense.
All right. Well, I don't know. This was a fairly decent little game, though. I liked it this week. Todd, Yul, any other thoughts on gameplay?
Oh, yeah. It was an excellent romp. Good game.
Good game. As an RTS, I like RTSs. And as one of the first, I like to see like what it actually got, what it did well, because there's really nothing else to base it off of. So I think
I do have a list of RTS elements that were introduced by this game into the RTS genre.
Todd, could I ask, did you happen to read the Wikipedia page for this game?
That might be where I pulled it from.
I possibly have the same list.
Let's go through this list. You want a tag team? You want to jump in and out?
It's been my dream.
All right. We have mouse-operated units in buildings.
Nope. It's a different list.
Okay. Then I'll keep going on mine.
I have a world map from which the next mission is chosen.
Oh, that's next on my list. I have resource gathering to fund unit construction.
Okay, now we're back on track. simple base and unit construction.
Oh, we have building construction dependencies, a.k.a. technology tree.
Ooh. There's also mobile units that can be deployed as buildings.
Yep, we have different sides/factions, a.k.a. the houses, each with unique unit types.
And super weapons.
And super weapons, yeah.
There's also, this is only on the Genesis version, but a context-sensitive mouse cursor to issue commands.
Mm.
So this might be the right click we were all clamoring for.
Mm. And we have the destruction of the enemy as a goal. It seems like that would have appeared in previous RTS games, but I guess not.
Well, that was what I was wondering. Were there previous RTS games?
There were. This is what I've been reading, and is that Doom 2 is the one that made the genre popular. So, which means that there were some before this.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't really find a good example. Herzog's Way was the one like they mentioned as a clear influence on this game.
I must interrupt. It's Herzog's Zwei. It's the German word for two.
All right. Well, that word.
Oh. So is it Werner Herzog's son?
Yes. No, it's actually his dad created Herzog's Zwei. Werner is number three.
Good for him.
Ah. Okay.
That Werner is German for three.
Well, the other listed inspiration was Populous and Eye of the Beholder, which me are radically different games, both of them. But
yeah, Eye of the Beholder, that's an RPG, isn't it?
Yes,
that is
yes.
A Dungeon and Dragon RPG.
Yes, it is.
That is different than a RTS game.
I know. It's pretty clearly different. So, I don't know how they got anything from that game on this. Populous, you can squint and kind of see how they got it. Populous, you can build up forces and, you know, you gather resources and that kind of thing. But, yeah, Eye of the Beholder is just, you know, a standard dungeon crawl RPG. So, Bob, did
Steve,
you have any?
I mean, one category of game Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry. One category game you guys missed, and you might have missed this experience on the Genesis, is game that makes you dig through the manual for pages to try to figure out some kind of obscure answer to make sure you didn't steal it.
Yeah. This is a thick manual. This is a girthy manual.
Oh yeah, I used to have that for Might and Magic 3 on the PC.
It's the original DRM.
Yeah, because I yeah, exactly. I sat there building slabs for a while and had no idea how to make an actual building. I didn't know you had to click the building icon, like the what is it called, that main first building. You had
the
to
construction
click, like,
site.
Yeah, you had to click the button inside that one to then choose other buildings.
Oh, that's not what we're talking about here, Huel. That's like these early PC games, they had a form of lockout so that you can just copy the disk and give it to your friend.
Oh, that's something different.
You actually had to have the instruction manual, and when you would boot up the game, it would go, all right, turn to page 15 and write, what's the third word in the first sentence? Like that kind of thing. And you'd have to type in the word like dog, and then you could play the game.
Oh, and I'm completely wrong. I was just talking about being an idiot and not knowing how to control anything.
No, and it was diabolical back in the day because it would give you a different word each time. So you would pretty much always have to have the manual until finally when you hit the internet era, like that all went away because one. You could just get a list of the words that the game asked you, or two, like you could just download a crack for the game.
True.
Get rid of that damn word. So
is that one of the things that this uses?
Yes. According to Bob.
Oh wow.
Apparently you guys played this game in depth for PC.
Yeah, like I said, I found a browser version that just let you play normally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was like every two or three, like it would basically let you play enough to be a demo. And then after two or three levels on the PC version, it would be like, okay, so I'm giving you a pick. You're like, I think you're a spy from another rival house.
That's awesome.
So to test your knowledge, I need to know this type of base right here. What kind of armor is it?
Oh, wow. Yeah, they have like little stats for all the units and stuff.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Oh my god. That would have driven me insane. Not a fan.
Well, how many crew does a spice harvester have?
I thought it was just one.
Oh, you're a spy. Get him.
That's
five.
All right, well, just to touch on where this series is now, and also the game history a little bit. You might be wondering, hey, if this is Dune 2, what's Dune number 1? Well, that's an entirely different game, but its development process led to Dune 2 being released almost on the heels of the first game. In August of 1990, after years of legal wrangling about the Dune series and who owned the rights, Cryo Interactive, a subsidiary of Virgin, began work on the game. It was a mixture of 4X strategy and an adventure game. However, the Virgin executives lost faith in the work in September, and they reassigned an adaptation of the game to Westwood Studios. Unknown to them, though, Cryo continued working on the game. They presented it to Virgin executives in April 1991, and the game was officially uncancelled in September 1991. As a result, the game Westwood was making was renamed Dune 2. For the record, Dune 1 got good reviews when it came out in 1992, but it hasn't had the staying power of Dune 2. Dune 2 was followed by a well-received sequel, Dune 2000, confusingly released in 1998. That game used a modified Command & Conquer engine, which itself developed from the work Westwood did on Dune 2 originally. This game was followed by 2001's Emperor, Battle for Dune, which received okay reviews. It was a real-time strategy game. And Frank Herbert's Dune, which bankrupted Cryo, the developers of Dune 1. This game, Frank Herbert's Dune, was a sequel to the original Dune 1, in a way.
What style of game is that Dune 1 game?
I think it's supposed to be an adventure game and a 4X strategy game.
Okay.
Like,
yeah,
like
it definitely Master. has not held up, because I only hear about Dune 2. I don't hear about the Dune 1.
The apparently the innovative thing of Dune 1 was that it was a 4X strategy and adventure game at the same time. Like,
oh, like Razor.
No, as you were doing stuff on the galaxy map, time was still going. So you would have to dart out of managing your fleet to be like, oh, I need to have a meeting with the clans back on Arrakis. And you'd have to flip back and forth between those perspectives.
That actually sounds interesting to me.
God, it sounds nerve-wracking to me.
I'm already stressed out thinking about it.
Yeah, imagining that on a 386 is horrifying.
Yes, apparently the biggest thing about the original Dune 1, is that its soundtrack is really good. It's mentioned as one of the better early PC game soundtrack games. So
Dune 2000, I think it's actually a remake of Dune 2.
Yes, you are correct.
And they added in the trademark Westwood Studios cutscenes starring Jonathan Rhys Davies, if that's how you say that, Jonathan Rhys Davies, whatever it is, Sala.
Rhys, yeah.
Sala. And he was in a game week.
From that Talking Monkey movie.
Yeah, exactly. He was in a game we covered previously, Quest for Glory.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He's all over the place in YPB lore.
Recurring celebrity, and he's been in a few Wing Commander games, so I'm sure we'll see him again later.
Oh, is that a hint?
That is a hint. Yes.
Oh. All right then. All right. Well, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say about this one?
No. Good little romp. I would say, actually, I would prefer to play this one over Command & Conquer, just because I like the setting of it more than Command & Conquer games.
Oh, nice. Huel, anything else from you there, buddy?
You both seem to like this more than Command & Conquer, but I think I'd rather play a Red Alert. It's a little more fast-paced. Found this one a little sluggish for an RTS.
Understandable. But,
also, I think right off the bat, first mission, they tell you your goal is to produce 1,000 credits. But when you start the mission, you have 1,000 credits.
Yeah, so but you didn't produce it.
Yeah, but you don't have to produce it. You don't have to produce it. You only have to produce 600 by the time you build buildings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was very strange.
Well, it's the first mission. It's easing it in.
Yeah, yes, I guess.
It's
just something weird.
It's getting used to that spice bath before you have to go into the spice gas cloud.
It could be at least started you with 800.
Mm-hmm.
You know, enough to get you going.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's for as early and original as an RTS it was still a good playable game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't absolute gutter trash.
Yeah.
Before I forget, Todd, how many DuckTales?
Oh.
DuckTales factors in how well does it hold up, and unfortunately, this is putting it down a peg or two. It's hanging about a 0.2 DuckTale.
Oh.
It is a solid game for its time, but there are better games of its kind.
Yeah, it's a little tough to go back to now and play through the whole thing. Bob, how about you? What are you? Got any last thoughts on this game or the whole Dune oeuvre?
So, I mean, definitely one little obnoxious aspect about this game that we forgot to factor in is the sandworms just hanging around in the sand, and you have to basically leave all your units on the rocks to make sure they don't just get randomly eaten.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen in Command & Conquer.
I would say so.
I think they did in the later Command and Conquer games, like Tiberian Sun and some of those where you have to harvest the glowing ores. I think they have aliens and beasts that randomly attack.
Really? That was a terrible part of this game. And also there were like little pockets of stuff that like your units can step on top of and get blown up. But I know you could do that with Tiberium too in Command and Conquer. So, but yeah, just lots of little obnoxious things about this game that made it hard because it was back when they had to make games super, super hard.
Yeah. Well, let's, I think we're done talking about Dune for now. Why don't we move along to the email portion of the show? Todd, did you receive any emails?
You know what? I did.
Oh.
And it is another email from a frequent writer, and they write, "Hey, ya fellas. Say, me and my good buddy Mountain Dewberg were wondering something. What is your favorite beverage to drink while playing those video games? Please answer before my Tuesday sales meeting. Your pal, Jimmy Blizzards."
Oh, Jimmy.
Jimmy Blizzards.
Good to know that he's still listening.
What about you, Huel? What's your answer for that?
Definitely not Mountain Dewberg, but I don't know. Nothing in particular. It depends on the time of day.
Tantrum.
I'll have if it's like a weekend, early, late morning shift, might have a coffee. Mm-hmm. If it's a late night, might have a pop or two.
Oh, a little soda water?
Not meaning soda, but like an alcoholic beverage.
Oh, a brew dog?
Having some pops, having some brew dogs, having some cocktails, having some brew dogs. otherwise, yeah, I guess just water or something. Just normal beverages. Nothing special. I have no special gaming drink. I mix Mountain Dew and root beer. Throw in some Jolly Ranchers.
I normally just have a diet soda or some water.
Yeah.
Much more diet soda, but
living on the edge, as I like to call it.
I know. What about you there, Bob, Todd?
So this is in advance of your show?
Huh? Hmm?
This is in advance of the show?
Oh, no. No, when you play video games, what do you ingest? What liquids?
This was before your time, Steve, but Balls, which is the finest caffeinated drink out there. That is my drink of choice.
I've always seen it. I've never
yeah.
tried it.
There was a kid.
I'm intimidated. I'm intimidated when I see it in the store.
Chugging them balls.
Yeah, can yeah there was a kid to buy some.
My freshman year in college, who drank it all the time, and it was the source of many, many great jokes.
Is this it?
Constantly.
Balls is a crisp, super caffeinated soda infused with the naturally energizing Guarano berry?
Guarana.
Oh, get it okay. right.
You know, bat Guarano?
Oh, yeah. The holy material from Ace Ventura, Pet Detective 2.
That's right.
Oh, this thing still exists, apparently.
Yeah, it's B-A-W-L-S.
Yeah. It's the like official
blue bottle.
Oh, go ahead.
It's like a blue bottle. That's all I had.
Okay. It is the official drink sponsor for QuakeCon.
Oh,
seems
that makes
appropriate.
Sense. Yeah.
It's
the classier Mountain Dew.
Wow, holy crap. QuakeCon is still a thing. How about that? Learn something new every day.
What are they playing? Like Quake 4?
They got a re-release of Quake coming out. Updated really? For the modern systems.
Hmm. People who have won the duel tournaments have Wikipedia pages. That's how famous they are.
Oh, boy.
So, my God, this Wikipedia page is so long. It's always amazing what has long pages on here.
Well, if you think about the kind of people that maintain it, I mean, they're going to be interested in who won the Quake tournament.
Shane Rafa Hendrickson won the 2016 QuakeCon Quake Live Duel Masters Championship. Good for him.
Round of applause.
Yes. All right. Well, Huel, did you receive an email this week?
I did get an email, which I will read right now.
Ah.
It says, "Dear Huel, we are writing you this because we want to help. Here's some career advice for you that's worked great for us. It's time to ditch those other dweebs and break out on your own. They're holding you back. If it's just you, you can reach your full potential. You won't have to cover for them anymore, and they won't screw you up trying to cover for them. Don't think of it as a betrayal. Think of it as an escape. Make sure there's some tables nearby when you do it. Co-signed, Kevin Owens and Tommaso Ciampa." P.S. What are some of the greatest betrayals in video games?
Greatest betrayal? Huh. Do you think he means like a plot twist or something like that? Or
yeah, someone you thought was on their side and then turns out they're not.
That is a good ask. And I don't know if I have a good answer right now. I need to think for a second. Todd,
I got one for you.
Oh, please.
A game, an excellent game that Huel has never played and never will. Earthbound for the Super Nintendo.
Oh, right.
The huge twist. Huge twist. Spoiler alert, fellas.
Yeah, this is a very spoiler, minefield that we're in right now.
Alert for this game that came out 25 years ago. Your neighbor Pokey is the ultimate bad guy boss of the game.
What?
Yes.
Not Pokey.
Yeah. Well,
I think another world famous one that's not really a spoiler anymore is Wesker in Resident Evil. The first Resident Evil. Mm. He was your superior officer. Turns out.
It's not their house.
Working for the other side.
There's some
whispering.
It's not I don't know if it counts as a betrayal. I guess it kind of counts as one of yourself. But Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh.
The old Star Wars game. There's a twist at the end of that one. And that was quite a surprise to me.
Isn't there like multiple endings to that one?
Yeah, but the big twist in that game.
Yeah, that's a huge plot point.
That still applies.
No matter what ending it is, everybody goes through this.
Okay. Yes.
Just wondering.
So, yeah, to spoil that one, just to get out there in the open, they're spoiling everything. Star Wars, Knights of the Old Republic. Throughout the game, you learn about this evil Sith Lord, Revan, who, like, killed a bunch of people in the galaxy, and he was awful. And then, like, halfway or three quarters through the game, you find out, oh, yeah, that's you. You just don't remember. Uh-huh. So you are that guy.
It was Yoda the whole time.
Exactly.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Someone's getting excited about that plot twist. Are you working on your Foley CD there, Bob?
I finally got home. Come on,
oh,
guys.
Okay.
I hope you were driving this entire time, because then you would be our longest driving guest past another person who called in one time.
Well, I was not driving, but I was being driven.
Whoa.
Wow. Oh, just like those fat cats in Washington. You've become one of them. All right. Well, Bob, it would have been weird, but did you receive any mails this week before your appearance?
So I did.
Oh, excellent.
It said, "Dear your parents' basement, I was a very faithful listener, and then you all besmirch the finest Nintendo game to ever grace the Nintendo, which was the original Ghostbusters game."
No.
Not Ghostbusters 2, but the original Ghostbusters game. "If you all renounce your views now, I'll listen again. What say you?"
And who's that signed by? Is it...
It's by...
Bob Hansen?
Probably Dan Aykroyd.
I was going to say Hob Banson.
Oh.
Dan Aykroyd's still trying to get a third one of those movies made with him in it. So.
Well, it's interesting that this comes up.
I don't hear any renouncing, guys.
I could not bring myself to do that.
Keep waiting.
Yeah.
I will say that game is overdue for a remake where they actually improve the aspects of it.
I mean, that one specifically?
Yeah, I mean, you could be, if they remade that one, so the gist of that Nintendo game is that you're running a Ghostbuster business and you're driving all around town busting them ghosts.
Yeah, it's the first ever open world adventure game.
Yeah, so if they remade that in modern day New York with you're driving that Ecto-1 around yourself and busting them ghosts in the buildings, I think that'd be pretty cool. You have to do a little micromanagement on your cell charges and your vacuums and all that, but
the gasoline for the Ecto-1.
Yeah, the gasoline. Run over gas cans to fill up.
Well, Hob, I'm glad you wrote, but I could not possibly take back anything
said. I'll wait for the reboot.
Yeah. Get on that Activision.
From where I sit, I can see a handheld Ghostbusters Tiger game that I would rather play than that piece of crap for the NES.
Ooh.
Steve.
And that's even though it would cost me like more money because I'd have to buy AA batteries to play it. Like I don't know. Come on.
It's literally 20... more than 0 cents.
Yeah. It's 2017. I don't buy batteries anymore, but for this I would. I would buy batteries to avoid playing the NES Ghostbusters.
I don't understand what that comment meant. It's 2017. I don't buy batteries.
Yeah, I there's almost nothing in my house that requires batteries nowadays.
I guess.
Except like for everything.
The remote for my TV, which I can't remember the last time I actually changed the batteries in that. So of course I'm cursing myself right now. But
it's
going to
run out today.
Yeah, everything else, the PlayStations.
I guess everything has its own battery now. I guess that's what you mean. Proprietary hardware.
Yeah, I was about to say, I've got bad news for you, Steve. They've all still got batteries.
Yeah, but no, I mean that you have to, those interchangeable batteries.
You got AA, you got AAA.
Duracell.
You got C, D, 9 volt.
Yeah, you got those tiny ones you can't ever get in right.
Tiny 9 volts.
Well, I received one mail this week. Guys, congrats on 100 episodes. My monkey and I congratulate you. That reminds me, wouldn't an Indiana Jones game series be cool? Which movie did you guys like the best? Sincerely yours, John Rhys Davies.
Oh,
Sala.
Big fan.
Sala himself.
Wow, Sala. Interesting.
Yeah. So, which movie did you guys like the best?
Ooh. I mean, the best has to be Raiders. That's number one. Number one with the bullet.
Mm-hmm. The bullet.
Yeah. Well, some people say the ending for Raiders is lackluster. Bob, what do you think about that?
I definitely have to cover my 3-year-old's eyes.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a good sign. Answer. It's a great sign.
Yep.
He does not enjoy people's faces melting off. Even if they're Nazis.
That's what you gotta tell him. These are evil people.
Well, he still shouldn't enjoy it though. That's the thing.
It's just a life lesson.
Mm-hmm. No, my favorite is also Raiders. Like, I don't know if a game series, like, I feel like Uncharted basically stole everything from Indiana Jones anyway. Sure. So,
I mean, there's always they did have a Lego Indiana Jones, and those are always a nice getaway.
That was good.
They had some LucasArts Adventures.
There's a lot of the Fate of Atlantis PC games.
All those, yeah. Which I hear are good. I'm not played myself, but I hear they are excellent adventure games.
Mm-hmm. So all these, like, you guys have all talked about Raiders, but it's missing a key ingredient.
Sean Connery.
Oh. Shia LaBeouf.
Right.
Well, I mean,
and yeah. Nuclear explosions that you survive by going in a refrigerator, which is absolutely the recommended thing to do.
I watched the Academy Awards last year, and they were giving out awards for best movie where Shia LaBeouf is in it, and also where there's a nuclear explosion with a refrigerator. And they gave it to another movie. They didn't give it to Indiana Jones. That one won a couple years ago.
Probably because, it didn't come out last year. I mean, that's my guess. I mean, they would have. They wanted to. But I think
it was
a new category.
The category created
had zero nominees for some.
No, I mean, they created that category the year after the Crystal Skulls came out because, you know, it's like that when they bumped the Best Picture category up to 10 because there's so many good movies.
Mm-hmm.
They did the same thing with Crystal Skulls, and they said, "Hey,
in reverse,
they're like, that movie was so awesome, everybody loves it." Let's create a new category next year. Best movie with Shia LaBeouf and also a nuclear explosion and also a refrigerator.
Okay.
So, you know what Jonathan Rhys Davies tells you if you bring a girl to see that movie?
No.
It's a bad date.
Oh, no.
Well,
come on, guys. Throw me a bone.
Not for all the spice in the world. Todd, did we receive any asks this week?
Oh, we did. We have somebody out there that needs our help. So how about let us ask the sweet boys? All right, this one comes from Anonymous, and they write, Christine Taylor and Ben are splitting up, and did you think Christine Taylor cheated on Ben Stiller? They've been together for 18 years. No, Ben Stiller never cheated on her. He worked really hard to provide for her and his kids. Mostly, I think the real reason why they got divorced, because of their work schedule. This is why celebrity marriages end badly, because of their work schedule. Celebrities are always busy 24/7. Ben is a nice guy. He may have a busy schedule, and he tried to make time with his wife and family. I guess it is not enough. So what do you think happened? And actually, they did sign this, and it's from Ben Stiller. Oh, okay.
Wow.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, so what do you think happened?
Getting his story out there.
Getting his writing career off the ground.
Maybe she realized she's Christine Taylor and he's Ben Stiller.
This is the first I'm hearing of this. Was this recent?
This is also news to me.
You know, it's news to me too. I actually did not research this question.
Google says it happened 3 days ago.
Oh wow! Okay. Huh.
I don't know. I feel like is her batting average higher than Ben Stiller's? I feel like Ben Stiller's been in. Just tons of crap.
The only thing I know her from is the Brady Bunch movies.
Dodgeball. What? She's in Dodgeball.
Okay.
I think they're getting a divorce because she's going to play the field once the Hey Dude reunion comes out. And she's going to get tons of attention for that.
Mm-hmm. Is that a thing happening? I can't even tell anymore what...
reunion. I wouldn't say it's not happening.
Well, she was in Heat Vision and Jack. Good TV show from back in the day. It's one episode.
That was the best pilot ever created.
Yeah. Actually, now that I'm looking at her IMDb, no, she was really in just as much crap as he was. So never mind.
Yeah, she was cashing some paychecks here and there.
Well, Ben Stiller has the volume. I just feel like she's not in that much stuff.
Yeah, she's been laying low a little bit. Since 2000, she's only been in about 12 movies.
Okay.
But it's...
How many of them was Ben Stiller in?
Oh, good question.
About half of them.
Yeah, it looks like about half.
Zoolander, nice. Zoolander 2 are both on that Zoolander. List.
Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
This might be a bad career move for her. I don't know who initiated this, but going by the author of the email, it might not have been Ben.
No.
Well, I mean, the question was, what do you think happened? And you can only assume that she cheated on him, of course. It has to be, because Ben is so good. He's so good to his kids. He's a great talent. He's a comedic genius.
Yes, yes.
He's the Jerry Stiller of our day.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he revived Robert De Niro's career single-handedly.
Yeah. I've got nipples. You want milk me, Fokker?
You want to milk me?
I have a feeling he might call in soon.
Oh, boy.
Oh, and also, I also forgot, this news clearly is why Christine Taylor felt comfortable to split now. She's got another gig lined up, Arrested Development Season 5.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So she's on Easy Street.
She was in like two episodes of the first series.
Yeah, but she was in the fourth season, so, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They'll probably throw her in Season 5, too.
Why not? Yeah. The big hook for Season 5 is they're going to get everyone in the same room.
Oh, it was a great time.
That is a start to get back on track.
Big hook.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we really helped Ben work through this. So, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say before we signed off here?
Sure. Guys, I know the spice must flow and all, but I'm going to go run and get some Pepto-Bismol.
All right. Huel, anything else from you there?
The missile tank has a crew of 3.
Oh. Bob, thanks so much for guesting on the show and sharing us your thoughts about the old Dune there. Anything else you wanted to say before we signed off here?
Recant on Ghostbusters.
This will not end.
Just lock your thoughts away about that one in a trap. So,
like a ghost trap.
Yes. Yeah.
The containment unit.
Yeah, you could use some ghost food on it, but that's not going to do anything. So,
it's been proved.
Spend $100,000 on a sound generator that does nothing. All right. On that note, here's a little snifferoo from next week's game.
Japan. I'm gonna take you on your travel and I'm gonna THR.
Perfect.